Okay, I will present my lesson in English too. If you don't understand something, just give me a bad look and I will try to explain it in Dutch too. We will go to John chapter 11 for our lesson today. Today we are going to talk about three very good friends of Jesus, namely Mary, Martha, her sister, and their brother Lazarus. And we have read the story of the woman who was a sinner. Now look what we read in verse 1 and 2. From John chapter 11. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. Now the city of Bethany was located about 2 miles, 3 kilometers in Nederland, outside of Jerusalem. And it's located behind Mount Olive. And so here they were living, and these people had a very good relationship with Jesus. Now, I don't know if we remember this story, but if we quickly go to Luke chapter 10, there we find another story of Mary and Martha. And Mary was, that is Luke chapter 10, Mary was there listening to Jesus. And if we quickly read this, then we get more an idea of who these people were. Now, in Luke chapter 10, verse 38, there it says, "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching." So this family, these sisters, the brother too, we will find out later, they were people who had a very sincere interest in Jesus Christ. They wanted to listen to his teachings. They were attracted by his personality. Now, we know that Jesus was very loving and caring towards the people he came to save. And so he showed love. Now, many of the people whom Jesus met rejected his love, but these people who are called the friends of Jesus, they like to listen to his teaching. Now, in this instance, Mary is listening at the Lord's feet, listening to what he is saying, and of course, she's pleased with every single word that comes from his mouth. But in this case, Martha, her sister, she was distracted. Why? Well, read on in verse 40. "But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.'" Now Jesus loved Mary, Jesus loved Martha, and Jesus loved their brother Lazarus. And now Lazarus, he became ill, as John chapter 11 says. And in verse 3 from John chapter 11, the sisters send the word out to Jesus, saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." So they call Jesus and say, "Hey, our brother is sick, and we want you to come because we need your help." Now Jesus loved them. What would Jesus do? What would you do if you hear that a very good friend of yours is ill and requests your help? What would you do? Now I would go straight away as soon as possible. But what does Jesus, their friend, do? In verse 4 from John chapter 11, "But when Jesus heard it, he said, the illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Now this is said four times in this chapter. John really emphasized that Jesus loved them. And this is so important that they knew that. And of course, through their example, that we know Jesus loves you. But what does verse 6 say? So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Now, Jesus, what kind of a friend are you? Your best friend or a very good friend whom you love very much is ill and you don't go to see him. You stay 2 days longer, not just an hour, not just 2 hours, but 2 days, and it could be 10 days. It could be 20 days. Because the time that Jesus delayed his coming is not important. But why he did that is very important. Verse 7, then after this he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. Now keep in mind that the situation in Judea was very dangerous for Jesus. Not long before, Jesus had to flee from Judea because they tried to kill him. Look at chapter 10, verse 31, a few verses above. The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Look at verse 39. Again they sought to arrest him, but he escaped from their hands. This happened in Judea, in Jerusalem. So Jesus had to flee. He came somewhere safe. There he heard the news. In Bethany, your friend is in need. Please come. And he delayed. And then he says after 2 days, well, let's go to Judea again. Now, how would his disciples react? They love Jesus too. They know he is not the best friend of the people in Judea because they tried to kill him. They tried to arrest him. So look how they respond in verse 8. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again? And Jesus makes the point in verse 9. He needs to do what the Father tells him to do. We're not going to read that. I will skip that. But he emphasizes that Lazarus, in verse 11, that he has fallen asleep. And now the disciples, they think, well, okay, if he fell asleep, there is no problem. But then Jesus plainly says, Lazarus has died, in verse 14. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Jesus was happy that he was not there. Jesus was happy that he delayed for 2 days when Mary and Martha asked him and pleaded with him, please come, we need you. He did not come and he was happy with it. And so they go. Now look in verse 17. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha, verse 20, heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Mary believes that if Jesus would have come, as soon as he got the message, when they sent to get him, that their brother would not have died. She believed in the power of Jesus. She believed that Jesus could have prevented the death of their brother. Now that is great faith that she shows here. Now look what she says in verse 22. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. What a great faith. Jesus, you're too late. You could have prevented it. But I know that if you ask your Father something, your Father will give it to you. Now, look what Jesus says in verse 23. Your brother will rise again. Now, if she said to Jesus, I know that whatever you will ask God, God will give you, she was thinking about something other than what Jesus said to her. Because Jesus said, your brother will rise again. What does Martha reply to him in verse 24? I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Yes, Jesus, I believe that we will all rise from the dead. And I know that my brother will be included. I believe that. But that was not what Jesus meant. She had faith. But her faith did not really carefully listen to what Jesus said to her. Your brother will rise again. Verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Look what Martha said. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. This was the faith of this family. They had been forgiven. They had accepted the relationship with Christ. They had believed every single word that he preached. And even in their great sorrow, in their great distress, their brother just died. Martha clearly confirms, Lord, I believe. You are the one. You are the Son of God. You are the one of whom the prophet said that he would come, the Messiah. So Martha met Jesus. And in verse 28, when she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and is calling for you. So Martha goes to Mary, and Mary is sitting there. And Martha doesn't want to, I don't know, maybe she was concerned about Jesus' safety, or maybe the sorrow was so greatly that she didn't feel like sharing things with everybody. I don't know why she went to Mary in private exactly. But she said to Mary, Mary, the teacher is calling you. He is here for you. Now, how comforting would that be for Mary? Now, look how Mary responds to this situation. Verse 29. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet come into the village, verse 30, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw that Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now, when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. She had the same faith as her sister. She believed in Jesus. And she believed in the wonderful things that Jesus could do. She loved Jesus. And she said, oh Lord, only if you would have been here. And maybe our brother Lazarus could have seen you too. Could have been healed. And we could have many more years together, enjoying one another's company. But now he's gone. Now it's too late. They saw an obstacle. they saw something that could not be overcome. They saw something that was a done deal. It could not be changed. Their brother died. That's final. And now we see, we don't see often in Scripture, Jesus' emotions. But here is one of the few verses where we are confronted with how Jesus felt and what things did to him. Look in verse 33. When Jesus saw her weeping, because she was weeping when saying these things. And the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. Now I need to say something about these words. It says that Jesus was deeply moved in his spirit. Now in Dutch we have the word verbolgen. And this word means that you are going to, I'm going to describe this in English, that you are wrathful, that you are angry. This is what this word means. Jesus was angry in his spirit. Now, why would Jesus be angry? He saw Mary weeping. He saw these people who were consoling them weeping because of death, because of their sorrow, because of the pain. Jesus was not happy when they suffered. And that is what moved him deeply. What led him to anger in his soul, but not in a bad way that he was angry at Mary or at these people. He was angry at death and what death caused with these people. And we know that death comes from sin. And so Jesus was deeply moved and greatly troubled. They cried. Jesus cried. Verse 34. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" Jesus wanted to help. They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Now verse 35 is the shortest verse in the New Testament. And there we find Jesus' emotions. Jesus also wept. This is how much he loved them. This is how much he was a friend to them. They were grieving. Jesus was grieving too. 36, so the Jews said, "See how he loved them." Now there is a lesson in itself. What is said in verse 36, "See how he loved them." If we say, "I love you," can people see that in our actions? Can they see that when our friend is in need, that you will do whatever you can? When we cry, somebody's crying with you. When you're happy, somebody's being happy with you. This is the kind of friend Jesus was. He wept. And this was the proof that all the Jews could see how much he really loved them. 37, but some of them said, and of course, faith or people who believe and unbelief, they're always mixed together. They're close to one another. If you see people showing great faith, you will also see people showing a great lack of faith. Because some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" An accusation of Jesus. But then comes the point why Jesus delayed 2 days, why Jesus was happy that he was not there. Look at verse 38. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, and again this is the word feeling anger inside because of all the grief people have. Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, and again here we see, she says, "Yes, I believe that you are the Messiah. Yes, I believe that there will be a resurrection of the dead." But She was not thinking about what Jesus said, that he would rise again. Look what she says. Lord, by this time, there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. She was not considering the fact that Jesus' power went beyond her knowledge, beyond her thinking, beyond her feelings. She said, it smells. Our brother is laying there for 4 days. That is not a pleasant sight. That is not a pleasant smell. Look what Jesus says to her in verse 40. Did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? If you believe, you will see God's glory. Now how sweet are these words? If you believe, you will see the glory of God. You will see His power. You will see who He is. 41, so they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up His eyes and He said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. What has Jesus been praying for? He delayed for 2 days. Why didn't He go directly to them? Well, He was already praying to His Father. And look what He knew all the time in verse 42. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. When He said these things, He cried out with a loud voice. Now I try to imagine this. Jesus crying out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to him, unbind him and let him go. Now try to imagine these people standing there, saying to Jesus, we believe in you. We know you are a friend. We know you love us. And there Jesus does something that goes beyond their comprehension. And Lazarus was raised from the dead. Now I dare you to find somebody who will do this. Nobody can do this unless God is with him. Now what is the conclusion of this lesson? The conclusion of this lesson is that we can always stand on God's promises. We can be sure, like Martha, like Mary, that we have eternal life. It's given, it has been given to us. And we can know, and we can say with all confidence, I have eternal life. But Mary's and Martha's trust in the Lord Jesus did not go far enough. They thought it was too late for their brother. They thought that the situation was helpless, that nothing more could be done. Yes, Jesus was their friend. Yes, they believed in him. But there the story ended for them. And there is such a powerful lesson for us today that we are like Mary and Martha. We trust Jesus. Yes, we do. We believe in Jesus. Yes, we do. When things go well. But when things become a little bit more difficult, when we find our obstacles that a stone has already been rolled before the grave, and it's a done deal, do we then still trust the amazing power of Jesus Christ and what He can do? If there is no hope, do you believe that there is still hope? Well, do you want to see God's glory? That is what Jesus wanted to show them. wanted them to learn. God's glory is amazing. It's wonderful. It's all-powerful. Go to me with Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Because oftentimes our own understanding, our own mind, is our greatest enemy, that we cannot comprehend that God is so powerful, that we have accepted the fact that the stone was already before the grave and nothing more can be done. Well, look what Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 says. What you and I need to believe, what we need to practice at all times. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. Think about these words. Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. To Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. This is the God in whom we believe. This is what God wants us to know. That when we are confronted with our stone before the tomb, that we need to have faith. That we need to have trust. That we need to put away our own objections, our own limited thinking, and to start holding on to God's promises, because they are the only certainty in life that we have. And they are trustworthy, because God does not lie. And He has shown us His love in sending Jesus. And now we may at times wonder, Jesus, why do you delay? Jesus, where are you? Don't you see my agony? Don't you see my pain? And it is comforting to know that Jesus is weeping there with you, that He is already planning the things that He knows what is good for you. He is already equipping you. Even when you are still thinking about your obstacles, He's already at work for you. Jesus loved them. Jesus wept with them. He was touched by their pain, and He gave them hope. He gave them an answer. He gave them a way out. So, in the following days, and hopefully the rest of your life, hold on to this. I know we all want to see God's glory. Jesus connected something to that. He connected the condition to that. If you believe. So have faith. Amen.